is John 14, 15, right, to 31? Oh, yes. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave.
Thank you, Will. Okay, so the whole idea around the video clip and the music that we just played to you, was the answers that the youth gave me when I asked them those questions. Now, obviously, it's a vulnerable state you put yourself in when you want to be honest about your mental health, so we did it that way because it felt much more calmer. So before I start, I just want to say thank you for the youth for their honesty and their bravery. So you may wonder why is mental well-being so important, and why is it connected to a person's spiritual well-being? For me, these are two separate words, but they are not separate issues. We need to have both in good working order. We can't have one without the other. One of the things that gets affected when we are suffering from poor mental well-being is our relationships. This is through no fault of our own. It's just something that really does happen. So this thing that we all have with Jesus is a relationship. So when we are feeling broken and when we're feeling alone and we're feeling a bit lost, these things can affect our relationships. So in part, this could have the potential to affect your relationship in Christ. And this also works in the other way as well. If your spiritual well-being is not great and it's not quite where it should be, then obviously this will affect your mental well-being too. This is why I went to talk to you about both of them at the same time, because for me, I feel that they are connected. So to help you understand what I mean, Ella is going to come. Why did you look shocked? Ella is going to come and give you a visual of, and for some of you, it's just a visual. For one of you, it's very much a physical demonstration of what poor mental and spiritual well-being can feel like. So, believe it or not, I am quite prepared. I don't know, it's my job, people. So, before we say what it is, who wants to be a volunteer? Not Will. Does anyone else want to be a volunteer? I can just pick someone. Yes, Evans, please. Right, over to you.
Okay, so as Alfie's going to demonstrate with Evans, he's going to use a Chinese finger trap. Okay, so when using a Chinese finger trap, the most natural thing to do is pull away to try and get out of it. So try and get out by pulling it away. Yeah, so when you do that, the trap normally tightens and it becomes impossible to escape. Well, something people need to know is that dealing with painful feelings is much the same. So let's say you feel anxious, you escape, and then avoid the things that make you feel anxious so that you can feel safe. or when you're overwhelmed with a deep sadness, you might stay busy or eat or drink to block it out. When you do that, the emotion that you're trying to escape tightens its grip on your life, because then you have to make your decisions based on things you don't want to feel. But something people need to learn is that when we turn towards those feelings and we are willing to be in this space, then the trap widens and you get the wiggle room, and then you choose when to be with that feeling and when you step away from it without having to fight your way free. So if you push them together, you should be able to try and get it out. And this is the same with Jesus. When we turn away from him, things tighten like a grip on your life. But when we learn to sit in those feelings and turn to him, the grip gets looser. This is because Jesus is helping us.
So thank you, Evans. And I hope that gives you a bit of understanding of what poor mental well-being could feel like. But like Ella showed, there is a light. And for us, that light is Jesus. And if we continue to walk towards him, then all these issues become a little lighter. The biggest problem we do face when it comes to young people is the vast numbers that don't know Jesus. For us, we have that rock and that cornerstone. Someone to lean on when times get hard. We see in today's reading that Jesus tells his disciples in verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Jesus is telling us all that he will be with us to give us his peace. But I do ask you, as a church, as a community, as a family, what about those who don't know him? And more importantly, what about our teenagers and our kids that don't know him? Who do they have to lean on? So for me, it's a very easy, quick answer. The answer is you. It's us. It's all of us as a community and as a family and as a church. We are the people that need to go out and reach these young people. The young people around us are so important, as they are the future of our community. And they are the future of our church. The young people that you see before you here, and the young people out there, they are actually the church of today, but they will be our leaders and our church leaders of tomorrow. It's so important to understand these words, mental well-being and spiritual well-being. I think it's one of those subjects when people talk about mental health or mental well-being that people kind of shy away from or they don't want to confront. I myself don't really like to feel anxious, and I don't like to feel myself feeling a little bit weak or a little bit vulnerable. So I, in the past, have closed myself off. This does not help anyone, and especially with the young people of our societies. So it's important that we do learn about this stuff so we can reach them, so we can be there when they walk through their struggles. So I want to tell you a few encouraging things, because I do definitely feel like I'm bringing a bit of a downer to our day. So there is loads of encouragement stories I want to tell you. But first of all, I thought we could have a race. Now, don't worry, we are not going to be Usain Bolting it around the church, but we are going to have a race. Okay, so this is obviously a youth service, and Will, again, I can't pick you again. So it's going to have a little bit of a twist. So first of all, I need 4 volunteers. Okay, we have 4 already. 1, 2, 3, and we need 1 more, 4. There you go. Right, so, Karen, can you wave your hand to me, please? Karen, can you just wave your hand? Yes, go stand where Karen is, please. All of you. Well, yeah, that's usually how a race starts. So, here are some rules. I get it's a bit cramped, but you'll learn the rules will change things. Okay. So this is how this is going to work. Each of you will start on the start line, which is by Karen. And the aim is to finish at the blue carpet. Okay? And the winner who gets there first... Yeah, see? Now everyone wished they volunteered. There you go. But there is a twist, and this is how the twist is going to work. You're not all actually going to start from the same spot. So, in a moment, I'm going to read out some statements. And depending on how you... Oh, by the way, answer them truthfully. Don't be lying to get to a chocolate, because I will know if you're liars. And depending on how you answer, is depending where you start in the race. Okay, so, here's the first statement. If you love Jesus, take a step forward. Do you know, before we start, before you did that, I was about to say, Will, Ella, behave yourselves and don't take massive steps, but I kind of... Okay. So, if you think young people are important to the church, take a step forward. Okay. And because you've took them strides, you have to take them strides for every answer now. Okay? Okay. If you've ever felt alone, take two steps back. If you've ever felt misunderstood, take two steps back. Will, if you get to the door, you can stop. Okay. If you ever felt like you needed someone to speak to, take two steps back. Okay, so, now, if I started this race, you'd probably think it's a little unfair to where you're standing. And you'd probably think it's a lot more unfair when I go stand on the start line and I get to start there. Okay? But what I'm trying to show you is that no matter how far you are back, you guys are still in the race. Yes, it's harder. And yes, you need to travel a little further. But you are still in the race. So, to even it up, I'm going to make it just a little bit more fairer. Jesus is with you, he loves you, and he wants to be in a relationship with you constant. So because of that, I'm going to let you take three steps forward. Everyone, take three steps forward. And now as humans, I believe, and a community, and a family, I believe that we need to support each other. So I will make a deal with you guys and the rest of the church that for every person who stands up in support of you in this church, you can take one step forward. Okay, so... Because yous were amazing, come back, Andy, come back. Actually, everybody won. So we do actually have a pack of chocolate for everybody. So round of applause, please, round of applause. Sorry, I just want to clear that up, that my youth just told each other, I'm not sharing. Just going to put that out there. Supporting one another is so important. And supporting people who have gone through or they are going through a tough time and poor mental well-being and poor spiritual well-being is so important. And with us as a community and as a church, as a family, and the wider church and the wider community, if we support each other, then things get a little lighter. You saw by the demonstration that once you guys stood up and supported them, how much great steps they could take to get to the goal. Granted, the goal was chocolate in this case, so I thought they would have got there anyway, but still. So I just want to share some encouraging stories with you. So, in the past 3 to 4 weeks, must be now, I have been blessed enough to be a part of two great things regarding young people of our church and the wider church. So, a few weeks back, I had the pleasure of serving on the SU sports team and going to Luminosity at New One. So I spoke about it a little bit last week, but I just want to elaborate a bit more. So while I was there, like I said, 1,500 young people came along to the big tent and got involved with talks and worship. I can tell you it was the most incredible sight. I've never seen anything like it. There were many young people from churches, but there were loads of young people that just kind of tagged along with their friends or families or got made to come along or whatever it may have been. Within the week, I witnessed these young people question who Jesus was and why is this man Jesus so important to them? Or why should he be so important to them? Many of them even came forward and decided to give their life to Christ. I left that tent every night with a sense of just disbelief is the word I want to use, because it was incredible. It was mind-blowing, and I was humbled every second that I was around these young people. Most of the young people that gave their lives to Christ, and most of them that came to the tent who wasn't in faith, said that once they decided to follow Jesus, or at least ask questions about who he was, the load of their life, their mental well-being, kind of got lighter. Now, I'm not saying that when you are a Christian or you choose to follow Christ that everything goes away, because we know it doesn't. But it does get lighter, a whole lot lighter. And I think having that constant in your life, having that cornerstone, having that support, it helps me, it helps you guys if you've been through it, it helps the young people immensely. So praying with them helps. Praying for them helps. Knowing Jesus helps immensely. But what really helps these young people deal with their mental and spiritual well-being is showing people, or people showing them support, for us to be there, for us to learn their names, for us to learn what they like, for us to just say good morning, just to support them. And sometimes these young people come forward with mental well-being issues or spiritual issues. It's not for me to heal them, it's for me to just listen. And we can all do that as a community, as a church. We can all get involved with that. So the second thing I want to talk about is the Ignite Youth Residential. It was a long week, no joking. They were amazing. So me and the team took them to a place called Burns Acre. It was in Dartmoor. It was further away than I thought it was going to be. But it was worth it. And the place was absolutely breathtaking. It had everything you could imagine, including a stream, which we kind of spent a lot of days in. It wasn't warm stream, I'll tell you that one. And I'm going to put like a montage of pictures together so we can hopefully run it next week, so you can, as you walk in, you can kind of see what they got up to and stuff. And I think the best thing for me and the team was watching the young people grow together in relationship and watching them bond. You kind of feel when you go on a youth residential and you've got a group of guys and a group of girls that they're going to be separated. But it was actually really lovely watching them bond together and become just a big family. It was amazing. And it also was lovely watching them ask questions and talk about and pray together with Christ. I wanted to kind of to make the place kind of somewhere they could breathe. So I've got a really good friend of mine who works with church leaders, and he works with people who are suffering from mental well-being, poor mental well-being, poor spiritual well-being, and his company is called Just Breathe. And I kind of wanted to kind of create this space for them while I was away, for them to just breathe, to get away from school, families, friends, just everything, and just for them to breathe. And I actually think Burns Acre was probably the most perfect place for that. There was so much time and space and beautifulness, it was incredible. So today, I want to kind of put a mission to you guys, for all of us. Jesus loves all, and by showing that, it makes young people and the people around us in the community know that we are loving them too. Young people mean everything to what we're trying to achieve for the future, for the world, for our community, for our church. We need to start with them, and we need to start with them by understanding what they go through on a day-to-day basis. We need to be with them on a journey of mystery and discovery. We need to walk beside them as they ask the questions who Christ is and what Christ means to them. We have to let them discover the mystery and of just everything they can achieve as they move forward in life. I have seen firsthand that once they turn to Christ and once they welcome it into their life and their spirit just fills them, that everything they deal with gets lighter. It doesn't go away, it gets lighter. So there was just something that stuck out with me, and I was speaking to David this week, and it kind of really hit home a little bit. So in John 14, verse 18, it says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. It's incredible, right? God, this Father for all of us, isn't just aimed at a particular group of people. It's aimed at the world. And the young people and us need to learn and need to know that God is the Father, the one who won't leave you, the one who won't leave you orphaned. And I do believe this 100% in our mental well-being and spiritual well-being, that God doesn't leave us when we're going through these struggles. So I just want to say thank you for listening to me. I want to say thank you for letting us race up and down the church. And thank you for support you already show our young people, and just to encourage us to support them further. So, we're going to pray for you guys, and it's a bit of an interactive prayer. So, okay, is that better? Okay.
First, I ask you to put your hands together like this. This symbolizes the grace and peace of God. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for your never-ending grace that you show us and the peace you give us. I pray for this to continue, Lord. I pray, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to pour out on us and teach us to show others your grace, and to help us show compassion to those who need your peace. Jesus, I pray for all the young people in our community and all around the world to know your love, and that your love helps them through their struggles. Amen.
Now I want you to clench your fists like this. This shows us the fight that people go through in their faith. Let's pray. Dear God, we pray for those around the world who have to fight to know you. We pray for the persecuted church around the world. We pray for the war in Ukraine to stop, for you to make their hearts soft, and for them to be able to find a conclusion. We pray for the fight and struggles the young people around us have, and we pray you lighten their load. Amen.
Now we ask you to do this to signify the wounds that Jesus had. This shows us the pain and suffering Jesus went through for us. Let's pray. Dear God, Jesus, we thank you for the sacrifice you faced for all of us. You took the weight of our sins and died on the cross for us to be forgiven forever. Lord, I pray we remember this when we are struggling and feel far from you, when we feel alone and broken and we feel like you're not there for us. I pray we remember that you love us so much that you gave your only son. I want you to take a minute to think and pray for someone who you know needs to know the love of God. God, we offer these names to you, and they open their hearts to know your love. Amen.
Now, finally, we return to this position, and together we will say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Okay, can we have a round of applause for young people, please? Right, let's begin. All right, thank you.